Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope you are well wherever you may be listening, and thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us. You can find our show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter, myself at StatsSAC, and you can also find the show wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your iPhone, wherever you choose to listen. In today's episode, we're going to continue our Grizzlies prospect profiles. Yesterday, I went into detail about Tyler Bay. I feel that Tyler Bay is one of the prospects who truly checks a lot of boxes for the Grizzlies in terms of what they're looking for with their 40th overall pick in the draft. Today, we're going to get a little bit more focused, though, on a specific need for the Grizzlies, and that's in the form of a developmental big. And it's a name that you may have heard about here recently via, you know, a frequent guest of ours, Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. He had an article about him. It's Jahmyr Yurtseven, who had played with the North Carolina State Wolfpack and also the Georgetown Hoyas in college. In the first segment, we're going to introduce you to Yurtseven. He has a very, he has a lot of history as a basketball player for someone so young. In the second segment, I'll point out to you a couple of things about Yurtseven that may be encouraging. From his statistical profile, he does a lot of the normal stuff you see from a big, but what about his college play may be encouraging for a team that selects him. And in the third segment, we'll really get into the detail about how he fits the Grizzlies, or does he really make sense for Memphis in this draft. Before we get into that, I want to remind you of our title sponsor, RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Please visit RockAuto.com today. Also, make sure you go to RockAuto.com and let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. For those who may be new to the show, my name is Sean Coleman. I have been covering the Grizzlies for a little over 2 years. Have written over at Grizzly Bear Blues as a blogger over there. For a few years now. Also have some podcast experience independently through Grizzly Bear Blues and have been here for about 6 months. So if you're new to the show, it's a pleasure to have you. Main reason I enjoy doing this is because it combines a lot of passions of mine: podcasting, sports, the Grizzlies, the NBA, and I just enjoy interacting with those who share the same passions as I do. But let's get right into it. So you're Jahmyr Yurtseven. The thing about Jahmyr Yurtseven, I don't really know if it's his calling cards, but two things that stand out about Yurtseven that not a lot of other prospects have in common with him is both his experience and his size. Now, none of that has anything directly to do with, you know, what he does on the court, but don't let it fool you. I'm not trying to play those two factors about Yurtseven up to take away what he does on the court. He does add value, and again, we'll talk about that in the second segment. But he does have notable experience as well. Yurtseven is 22 years old, but he actually started playing in the EuroLeague back when he was 17. He was from Turkey, from Istanbul, Turkey, and if you couldn't tell, Turkish basketball players always have awesome names. One of my favorite players growing up was Hito Turkoglu from his days with the Sacramento Kings and the Orlando Magic. But with Jahmyr Yurtseven, it's another great name. But he's from Turkey. He's played in Turkey at some pretty high levels. He's played in the EuroLeague, made his debut in 2015 against some pretty good competition. Also, at the time, he had the distinction of being the youngest person ever to play in a preseason NBA game when he played against the Nets. That's since been broken, but it just goes to show how extensive of experience that Yurtseven has. Now, nothing about his experience really stands out as him truly being, you know, an elite type prospect. I don't think that he's ever been on the elite level. As a matter of fact, as time has gone on and there's been more tape and more proof of the type of player that he is, you may even be able to say that his star has fallen a bit just with how the NBA is going nowadays. But, you know, besides that, the thing about it is that that's what attracts some of these older European prospects, these 21, 22-year-old prospects, to be a part of these NBA teams is their extensive background. These players have had time to develop their games and their skill sets, and even if they're a player such as Yurtseven, who likely is limited athletically, he's able to make up for it through basketball IQ and basketball knowledge to make the most of what he can offer with the skill set and, you know, the body type that he has. And besides his experience, that's the other thing that really stands out about him. He's 7 foot tall and 264 pounds. This guy is going to set screens, and it's not just going to be effective screens. These are bone-crunching screens that are really going to get in the way of defenders, and as the Grizzlies continue to try to want to set, you know, space for their effective ball handlers, Ja Morant, Tyus Jones, you know, others who may come in the future, Yurt 7 could be a person who could certainly do that. But beyond just the ability to set screens, you know, Yurt 7 does have the ability to be a rim protector. He also was a very effective rebounder as time went on in college. So those are the two things that really stand out about Yurt 7 when it comes to his profile that kind of jumps off the page to you, his size and his experience. And the thing also that makes him a fit for the Grizzlies is the Grizzlies have always seemed to, you know, have a, you know, desire to look at European big men. I mean, that's been the definition of the Grizzlies, you know, post-talents since they moved to Memphis. They had Pau Gasol, they had Mark Gasol, now they have Jonas Valanciunas. Besides Pau, Mark nor Jonas, I think, would be considered the best player, you know, at times on the Grizzlies, though Mark, I think, was the best player during the grit and grind era. But it just goes to show the Grizzlies put value in international talent. And we've seen here recently that the Grizzlies have looked to expand the impact of international talent on their team. You know, they went out and signed Marko Gudurić, though that didn't work out, probably is not going to. It was at least an effort by them to show that they want to add that type of talent to the roster. You know, they also have had, you know, they looked at European coaches as potentially coming over and being, you know, in Taylor Jenkins' position before they hired Taylor Jenkins, and they have had some assistant coaches as well. So it seems like the Grizzlies, though they may be late to the party, they're starting to come around like many NBA franchises have, in including some type of European presence into the roster, and Yurt 7 would certainly fit that role. You know, he did play in Europe. He played in the EuroLeague. He did have some standout performances in some Turkish tournaments and the Turkish leagues, but eventually he came over to the U.S. to play college basketball. You know, when Drew Hill of the Memphian, Daily Memphian, talked with Yurt 7, he brought it up. You know, what about going to college was, you know, so important over potentially testing the NBA waters? And Yurt 7 said that he wanted to get his degree. And you also could see from the interview that Drew Hill had with Yurt 7, there was a lot of insight and a lot of thoughtfulness in Yurt 7's answers. So it seems like that he's a very mature personality for his age, and that comes from the experience that he has gained. So he started off at NC State. He played there for 2 years, set out a year, and then played at Georgetown. So again, the extensive history that Yurt 7 has in basketball, it's not just through his play in Europe, it also is the play within the U.S. So the other thing about his experience is that it's come in multiple ways. He's played basketball on multiple platforms, likely has learned multiple ways to contribute, and though there are clear strengths and weaknesses in his game, the fact that Yurt 7 has seen many different ways in which he can be utilized, as well as many different things the opposition can throw at him through his now 5 or 6 years of experience, I think that has value and definitely could allow for him to make himself, you know, an NBA career. I don't think he'll ever be a star or, you know, ever probably a reliable starter, but it does seem like that there are plenty of profile that Yurt 7 has a typical valued profile that many teams look for when they're looking for their fourth or fifth big. So we know his experience, we know his size, but what about Yurt 7 on the court would make him attractive to the Grizzlies? Coming up, we're going to look at that. Besides what you would expect for a big man, is there anything about Yurt 7 that stands out that really could make him be valuable in today's NBA? The other thing that I can tell you is certainly valuable is car knowledge, but that's something that I don't have a lot of. However, I do know that if I had car trouble, I could know where to go to find the car parts I need, and that's rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a great source because it allows for you to be able to find the car parts you need within a few clicks. And the good thing about it is that you're likely going to find what you need because no matter the part, no matter the make and model, rockauto.com is going to have it. It also is a great source for if you do, if you in any way, shape, or form rely on servicing cars as a living, whether you do it yourself, you do it for others, or if you're someone like me, you got to have someone else do it, RockAuto.com is going to have what you need, and it's also going to be affordable. This is a family-owned business. They know that car repairs likely fall outside of the budget, so they want to remain economically friendly. If you go to RockAuto.com right now, and you let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today. So I mentioned when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies and their history of featuring European bigs. It's funny that it always seems like that as valuable as those bigs have been, they've also been kind of polarizing. You know, with Pau Gasol, no one debated how good he was. He's potentially a Hall of Famer, and he arguably is the best Grizzlies player in the history of the franchise, and he showed it while he was here. But the way that he left, you know, left a bad taste in a lot of people in Memphis's, you know, a lot of people had a negative opinion of him based off how he left. With Marc Gasol, it was the thought of, yeah, we hear that he's effective with how he plays his game, but with his size, he should be playing a lot more like Zach Randolph. That's true. You know, a lot of people would have loved for Marc Gasol to play more like Nikola Jokic. It's just not how he played. And then now, with Jonas Valanciunas, I think Memphis has a higher opinion of Jonas Valanciunas than new age NBA minds may have. You know, we've seen the trends of a traditional big like Jonas Valanciunas that, yes, statistically, they still make an impact. You look at the analytics of Jonas Valanciunas, and they're going to really stand out. But when you get into the playoffs, his position is diminished in terms of its effectiveness. And so that's the thing that I get to when I look at Omer Yurtseven. Now, let me make sure that I put this caveat in there. Looking at Omer Yurtseven, I don't see anything that really stands out about him that would make me think he would reach the level of a Gasol or of a Jonas Valanciunas. I bring up Jonas Valanciunas as polarizing because a lot of people are, you know, when he was extended 3 years and $45 million last year, they were seeing, okay, yeah, we see where the Grizzlies need a rebounder. We see where they need a post presence. We see where they kind of need that enforcer, that person who can establish a physical edge. And yes, Jonas Valanciunas can do that. But when it comes to those more high leverage situations, it seems like Taylor Jenkins has gone more towards a lineup that features Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Ja Morant. So Jonas becomes a little bit less utilized, a little bit less important, especially in those big games like we saw in the bubble and, you know, in the future if the Grizzlies make the playoffs. I mention all this to say, again, I don't think Yurtseven becomes someone on the level of the guys that I've mentioned. But the same philosophy, I think, does apply in that he very much is a traditional big. The thing about Yurtseven, though, that can make him effective is that his style of play, while it may not be as highly impactful as Jonas Valanciunas, it still could make an impact, especially in short spurts. And that's where I think Yurtseven really could make a difference in the NBA. Why is that? Well, he definitely shows out well in the expected areas you would feel someone in his size would. But there are limitations in the other parts of his skill set that need to be there for him really to become a true difference-making NBA talent. So, for instance, when it comes to his production in college, you know, the thing that you would think would stand out about a guy Yurtseven size is his field goal percentage, it is his ability to rebound, and his blocks. And so those things did stand out. Now, in college ball, you see a lot of it more based off on athleticism and other things than skill because skill is still developing. Well, Yurtseven's size clearly did make a difference. For instance, in his ability to rebound, Yurtseven per 40 minutes in college, he averaged 11.3 rebounds in around 23 minutes per 40 minutes at NC State. At Georgetown, in his last year of college ball, he averaged nearly 14.4 total rebounds per 40 minutes. That's an incredible amount of rebounds. It shows that Yurtseven knows how to use his size in order to get needed rebounds to make a difference at the center position. He also averaged nearly 3.1 blocks his second year at NC State and 2.1 blocks at Georgetown. So in terms of production in the paint, in terms of being a presence in the paint on both the offensive and defensive end, that is something that Yurtseven certainly provides. Defensively, he certainly also provides defensive rebounding, as well as being able to, you know, deflect shots or, you know, be one who can alter shots at the rim. And that's something that the Grizzlies obviously could use more of if Valanciunas is out of the game. On offense, the post presence is certainly there, and the ability to do putbacks, potentially lobs, you know, being able to drop towards the basket as the Grizzlies guards go into the lane, which we know they like to do, that's something Yurt 7 could also provide. Another big thing about Yurt 7 is, does he show a keen ability to really be reliable on the shots that he takes? Well, in his career in college, he shot 54% from the field. Now, that's not necessarily that great as a standout amount. His true shooting percentage in his last 2 years were 61% and 57%. Pretty decent, but for it to be elite, you would expect for it to be higher. Yurt 7 doesn't come off as a really skilled scorer. He comes off as more of a big whose presence, his size, is the biggest asset that he offers instead of his skill to score or set up others. And that does have value, but it also right now limits Yurt 7's ability to really grow into something more than a fourth or fifth big. And that's what I think needs to stand out about Yurt 7. The expected things you would come to anticipate a guy of his size can do, Yurt 7 can do. And again, if he's a reserve against other second units, I really think that he could be an impactful presence in short spurts, and the Grizzlies could use that in a fourth or fifth big. But in terms of transitioning to the NBA game and seeing someone at the age of 22 like Yurt 7 with his experience become much more than he is right now, there's just not a lot of indicators that that could happen. In terms of his ability to pass, to be a playmaking big, during his 3 years in college, per 100 possessions, Yurt 7 averaged 2.1 assists but 3.6 turnovers. That's nearly that's nearly averaging 1.5 turnovers to every one assist. That indicates not the best decision making and a lot of work that's going to be needed to turn him into a playmaking big. In terms of his ability to shoot the threes, Yurt 7 was 26 of 61 when it came to shooting threes in college. Now, that comes out to nearly 42%. So yes, Yurt 7, especially his second year at NC State, in which he made 22 out of 44 threes, if Yurt 7 is found for an open catch-and-shoot opportunity, he likely can make a three on a pretty consistent basis. But the thing about it is, with his size, he's not going to get open that often. It's likely going to have to be that he would do it as a trailing big in the form that we see Jonas Valanciunas do it for the Grizzlies. So you know that in terms of what you expect for him to do, Yurt 7 can deliver in short spurts. You also know, though, that when it comes to the things that he needs to do, such as being a playmaking big, perhaps creating his own shot, and also being a skilled scorer, you know, can Yurt 7 really add to those skill sets significantly enough to become something more than the potential fourth to fifth big that his NBA career would start off as? I have my doubts. The other thing that's hurting Yurt 7 when it comes to his skill set, he's very slow. And that's nothing against him. He's 7 foot, 265 pounds. You wouldn't expect a lot of players that size to be that slow. Now, yes, you do have your Nikola Jokic's, who are the exception to the rule, with as skilled as he is with the ball, though he's able to make up for it. I don't necessarily know if Omer Yurt 7 stands out in that regard. So, in other words, the main overall point to take from Yurt 7's statistical profile is that he certainly is a traditional big. And in the general sense of those type of players in the NBA right now, what you run into is that they just have diminished value as you get into more important games, such as late season playoff runs and the playoffs themselves. So do you value that enough to really pick him over other players who could be of more value down the line? It really comes down to how much you value Yurt 7's work ethic and IQ. I think the IQ's there. Based off what you see in highlights, based off how he speaks in interviews and things like that, Yurt 7 gets it. And he also seems to get what he needs to do to improve his skill sets. In that interview with Drew Hill that I've referenced a few times, Yurt 7 was very focused on the fact that he knows he's got to become a reliable or respectable three-point shooter for him to really become a relevant talent in the NBA. And he's putting in the work consistently. But is there only so much of an improvement that can be there based off his physical limitations? I guess time will tell. But at this point in time, at 22 years old and with the experience that he has, I feel like that what the statistics show with Yurtseven is that he pretty much is who he is. And while he could continue to develop into a reliable three-point shooter, he's going to be limited in how he can find those three-point shots. Perhaps as a trailing big, as a pick and pop on occasion, on pick and roll opportunities, things such as that. But I do think his physical limitations in time are, even though he may make the most of them, I think they're going to limit him to that fourth or fifth big role in the NBA. And while that does have value on a team like the Grizzlies, who are looking for a developmental big, and who could certainly use that type of dominating physical presence that we love to see with Jonas Valanciunas, and we'd love to have as a reserve at some point for maybe when Valanciunas leaves, I don't know how important that is to get right now when you likely could find that type of presence out on the open market or in another draft in a year or two. However, we do know that Yurtseven is someone that the Grizzlies have interest in from the fact that they have interviewed him. So we've talked about, you know, where he might compare ceiling-wise to a few other of these prospects that the Grizzlies could consider, but how would he truly fit with the Grizzlies' current roster? Coming up, what I'll explain is, I hinted at it a little bit, but I'll go into a bit more detail into just how much of a difference Yurtseven can make and how he can make a difference when it comes to his ability to be a part of the Grizzlies potentially and really stand out as a contributing member of the rotation. One thing I do can tell you, though, that will contribute to your day is Built Bar. I've talked about it many times. There are so many of us who wish that we could add a healthy benefit to our daily routine. And one of the best ways that I can think that you can do that is Built Bar. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. But the thing about it is that you don't have to sacrifice taste for health or health for taste like you do a lot of other bars. This is a very versatile bar that not only tastes great, but you can use it anytime during the day. Breakfast, before or after a workout. I like to use mine as an afternoon snack to listen to my other favorite podcast, Locked On Podcast Network shows. And the thing about it is, if you go to BuiltBar.com, there's a wide assortment of bars that you can choose from. My favorite is the peanut butter, but it's likely going to have a taste that you like. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order while supplies last. That's $10 off your next order of Built Bar at BuiltBar.com by using the promo code LOCKEDON. But I can tell you this with confidence, if you add Built Bar to your day, it's going to stay there, and you're going to continue to want to make those orders. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order through Built Bar. So last week was a lot of fun talking with the different members of the Grizzlies beat, such as Joe Mullinax, Parker Fleming, Drew Hill. I talked with them and gave my own opinions during a series we called Brainstorm the Backcourt, where we really dove in to the Grizzlies' backcourt members. You know, what do we think about the current setup? What could they add? Who could potentially leave? How could those players improve? Well, the other thing, the reason why we looked on the backcourt is because really, right now, the quality of this Grizzlies team seems to stand out in the front court. And, you know, as we ended the season, the front court hierarchy, if you will, was Jaren Jackson Jr. and Jonas Valanciunas as the starters. Then you had Brandon Clark as, you know, in my opinion, one of the clear best reserves in the NBA. And following that, you had Gorgui Dieng and you had Anthony Tolliver. So those five players really stand out as the post players, guys who fill the four and five position, play down low. However you want to categorize the bigs on the Grizzlies roster, those were the five guys who filled those roles. Well, I think that the three in place that we already know of are Valanciunas, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Brandon Clark. But after that, it becomes a bit murkier in terms of what's going to happen going forward. Now, Anthony Tolliver is a free agent, but the reason why he is significant is because he was added as a 10-day contract player before the suspension of the season. But even before that, the Grizzlies entered the season surprisingly with, you know, not a lot of size, because it seemed like Taylor Jenkins really wanted to focus on being a run-and-gun type team, being someone that could space the floor, getting shooters on the floor, going with players who were athletic and could play the game at a fast pace. So there wasn't a lot of, depth, big depth, in terms of backing up Valanciunas, Clark, and Jaren Jackson Jr. But it seemed like that towards the trade deadline, due to some injuries and just fatigue that were going on with Clark Jackson Jr. and Valanciunas, the Grizzlies knew that they needed to get some reserves. They needed to find a reliable talent to be able to fit the need of a big. So they went out and got Gorgui Dieng. They traded James Johnson after they acquired him in the Iguodala deal to get Gorgui Dieng. They thought they had found what they needed in him. Well, eventually they signed Anthony Tolliver. And when they signed Anthony Tolliver, I think the significance that came from that was that Tolliver has been one of the most frequent three-point shooting bigs in the NBA over the past decade. And that is, again, another sign of the preference that Taylor Jenkins has and that he wants a big that can shoot the three to come off the bench. You also saw that validated as we saw the rotations in the bubble occur. Anthony Tolliver was the one that was called on to eventually replace Jaren Jackson Jr. And even before that, he was the one that came on the court before Gorgui Dieng. It was clear that Tolliver was of the higher preference. He was in a higher profile spot in the rotation than Gorgui Dieng. So basically, it just seems to me, after the three bigs that are established, the Grizzlies have kind of had a rotating chairs based off preferences, based off injuries, what have you, in their depth as far as their fourth and fifth bigs go. But the reason I talk so much about Tolliver and Dieng is those are names that stand out because of the size and Dieng's, you know, profile that he offers, plus his shooting potential that you saw at times in Minnesota. But eventually, Taylor Jenkins transitioned to wanting a pure shooter as a big to be his fourth big. I bring that up because that, to me, does not give the strongest validation that Yurt 7 is a logical selection for the Grizzlies at the 40th pick. I think that the biggest thing that works in Yurt 7's favor is what potentially happens with Gorgui Dieng. If Tolliver remains unsigned, and you know, it's likely that that's the case, I could see them bring him back because it seems like the players love Tolliver, and again, his three-point shooting certainly meets Taylor Jenkins' preferences. But if Gorgui Dieng is traded because he's an expiring contract or is added to a deal just to match salary, whatever it may be, I think that if Gorgui Dieng is traded, then a player such as Yurt 7, a second source of size that can offer, you know, screening, rim protection, good rebounding potential in the half-court offense as a reserve off the bench, I think that's where he makes sense into the Grizzlies' depth chart, being a pure traditional big that can back up Valanciunas when that presence is needed. However, if Gorgui Dieng is with the Grizzlies next year, I really don't think that even as a developmental big, Yurt 7 makes that much sense for the Grizzlies. I get it and am very encouraged by the energy and passion that he has to improve the shooting part of his game. I just don't think that he has the athletic profile that allows for him to have the significant future projection when it comes to shooting improvement that the Grizzlies would like to have in a developmental big. For instance, like could be there with Jontay Porter, who the Grizzlies, as John Hollinger, a former former executive with the Grizzlies, but he mentioned it the other day in some notes, the Grizzlies probably are looking with Porter to decline his option and then sign him for multiple years. That's the type of developmental big that the Grizzlies look to have, one that has the ability to play the big role if needed, but also significant projection as a shooter. I just don't see Yurt 7 being that. I think he could become a reliable spot, or, you know, catch-and-shoot shooter on the occasion that he gets open, but how many times is that? Maybe once or twice every three games if he's only playing like 10 to 15 minutes a game? I just think that with what Yurt 7 is currently, he likely is more of a finished product than several other options that you could consider. And also, the role that he fills on a team, a role that's going to diminish as you get in more high-leverage games, I think those two factors make Yurt 7 a long shot to make a lot of sense for the Grizzlies at 40. If Dieng is traded and it's just clear that the Grizzlies really only have three bigs, the three bigs that are entrenched on their roster, sure, you could see Yurt 7 as being an addition, and there are indications he could become a relevant talent. Again, his IQ, his effort towards shooting, the indications that he could become a decent three-point threat, and obviously the traditional traits that he has as a big that are still valuable at times in the NBA. But I just don't know if the limited ceiling that I feel he has is enough for the Grizzlies to truly pick him over several other players, such as Tyler Bay, who could check more boxes as the Grizzlies go forward. So at the end of the day, I think the Grizzlies are smart to really look into Omer Yurtseven's background, talk with him, really get an understanding, because we have seen several European bigs who have had much higher ceilings than expected, anywhere from Nikola Jokic down to Boban. These guys still are relevant, and they still offer plenty of value. And if the Grizzlies feel they found something like that in Yurtseven, by all means, go for it. But I just think at the end of the day, there are more sensible options and more needed roles that are out there that make other options more logical for the Grizzlies at 40 than Omer Yurtseven. Thank you so much for listening. It's been another great time talking with you. You can find myself at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz, and obviously the podcast anywhere podcasts are available. We're going to continue our Grizzlies prospect profile series tomorrow. I'm going to keep it a surprise. Definitely don't want to sit here and ruin the surprise, but we're going to focus a little bit more on the backcourt when it comes to tomorrow's prospect profiles. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon again here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.